but I'm listening to all these really wonderful conversations happening right now. So, good morning. We want everyone who's here to know how special you are and that you have impacted not only our lives in some way, but other people's lives who are here in some way. And we hope that every conversation you have this morning is bountifully blessed. And if you will go ahead and stand with us, let's just enter into a space of worship together and expect God to show up in a way that we don't expect. Thank you for your presence, Father, and for your power. Thank you for your love. And we thank you that when we just submit ourselves and let go for a minute, that you can step in and show up in the way that we need to experience this morning. thankful that just in the middle of life happening that we can just catch this reprieve for one moment.
Forsaken, I am who you say.
do about this music and about this relationship that we have. Keep it up, man. Clap your hands if you feel like clapping your hands. It's okay to move. It's okay to shout. It's okay to say a little something extra.
So these songs today are our journey. So we start with His reckless love and how he leaves the 99 to come get us. And once He finds us, He lets us know who we are. Because there's times in my life where I have no clue what I'm doing, who I am. Just solid question mark in my life. And He fights a battle for you, even though it's already won. So you can learn to trust Him fully. So the goal is to trust Him fully. And that's a battle that I think we all struggle with. But today, don't fight. You don't have to fight.
In your justice and your mercy, heaven walked the broken road, here to fight this sinner's battle, here to make my fall your own. Turn my eyes to see your face as all my fears surrender. Hold my heart within this grace, where burden turns to wonder. And I will fight to follow. And I will fight for love. turn my eyes to see your face as all my fears surrender. Hold my heart within this grace, burden turns to wonder.
Sing it again.
Can't get over that one line in the light of your name. In the light of your name, there is no shadow you won't light up to bring us closer to you, to push us past ourselves, past our circumstances, past this world, past the principalities, past the physicalities, in the light of your name. If you'll just let that sink in for just a few more seconds, in the light of your name, in the light of your name, in the light of his name, we get to watch every Goliath fall down before us. God said that he set a table in the middle of your battle. When you couldn't see the end, whatever this giant is, if it's I won't even list the things. You know what your giants are. God said, watch the giants fall. Your giants fall. You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown will feed me. Take me deep. Open the heavens for you today. Just let him open the heavens for you today in the light of his name. In the light of his name, in your presence, our faith will be made stronger. Thank you, Father. We love you. Thank you.
Everything about you. I'm with you all the time. You can't go anywhere that I'm not with you. He's omnipotent. Before she was conceived in her mother's womb, he knew her, and he chose you to have her. He chose you, picked you individually and perfect for her. You have to understand that. He, the God of the universe, said, I want you to have this little girl. Because she was with him in spirit. She was a spirit before she became flesh. And he wants you to know how much he loves you, how much he is trusting you with this little girl. I love her name, Lenny, which means brave as a lion. Wow. And Jane, which is God is gracious. God is gracious. Let me see if I can't handle this. Whoa. 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 Okay. Everything's good. And Lenny Jane, we christen you today in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We thank you, God, for this warrior of yours that you've placed here on this earth. And we just lift her up to you. We dedicate her to the kingdom of God. And Lord, we're just so grateful and thankful for how you watch over us and take care of us. And we bless this little sweet girl in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this is what God does. When you give them to him and you dedicate them, he gives them right back. He gives them right back to you, and he says, now, you raise her in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and she will serve him all the days of her life. God bless you. Sweetie pie. You're a good daddy. Good mama. Great family. Wow. Speaking of, you pull out your connection card. If you got your connection card,
starting this Wednesday night, there are three special groups it's going to be. One is on parenting principles. If you're a young parent, this will be a great class for you, led by Will and Jennifer. And then I'm going to be leading a class called Irresistible. It's a book by Andy Stanley that's absolutely one of the best books I've ever read in my life, Irresistible. You can be a part of that one, or you can be a part of one called Goliath Must Fall. Say Goliath Must Fall. All right. I am entering into this series with fear and trepidation. I want so bad to get this message across in such a clear way that I don't think I've ever studied more, meditated more, thought more, prayed more over a series than this one called Battles. Say Battles. Battles. And before I do, I want to pray for a young man who's in the hospital in Atlanta right now, Karsten Doss, who's going through probably one of the biggest physical battles of anybody. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we lift up Karsten to you. We just call upon his daddy in heaven to speak on his behalf. Touch this young man. Lord, we know you can really do miracles. You have done miracles and continue to do them. And we pray for him that in this physical battle he's going through, that victory is his. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. I'm going to be very deliberate this morning. I'm going to make a lot of statements that are going to be just like bullet point statements. I've written down a lot of things about battles that for some of you won't mean anything to. For some of you, maybe just one of the simple bullets is just going to ignite in you and go, man, I needed that today. You ever been in a place where I needed that today. Well, battles are real. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation or battles, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. How many know that's a battle? To bring every thought unto the obedience of Christ, that is a battle. The Bible says that we are to put on the whole armor of God, that we don't battle against flesh and blood. Isn't it amazing that the Bible says we don't battle against flesh and blood, and yet all of our battles is flesh and blood? Isn't it amazing? He said we don't battle against flesh and blood, but yet all of our battles that we have on this earth usually has something to do with flesh and blood. It's an oxymoron. It's a paradox. It just doesn't seem like that should be right. But he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil, our adversary. Peter said that our adversary walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That there is an adversary. There is an adversarial spirit in this world that is anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Holy Spirit, anti-church, anti-love, anti-goodness, anti-you. It's against us. But we can be of good cheer. Why? He's overcome the world. And the Bible says, and this is the victory now that overcomes the world, even our faith. What we believe about him is our victory. Now this morning we're going to talk about, I'm going to give you a lot of different battles, and the one I'm going to talk about this morning is battles you don't have to fight. Aren't you glad there's a battle you don't have to fight? Then there are battles you shouldn't fight. Now this story this morning is about Jehoshaphat. The kingdom of Israel had been split, and there was there was the northern kingdom and there was a southern kingdom, and he was king over the southern kingdom. He was a good king. He was an awesome king. The Bible says at the end of his life that he served the Lord and he lived for him and he did what the Lord wanted him to do all the days of his life. He was a great king. But there are battles, even in his greatness, there was a battle he shouldn't have fought. We'll get into that later on in the month sometime, but in chapter 18 of 2 Chronicles, that was a battle that Jehoshaphat was drawn into that he wished he had never been drawn into. Have you ever been drawn into somebody else's battle? How many know that's not a good thing? Not a good thing to be drawn into somebody else's battle. I heard a story a minister told, and he was with his father-in-law, and he was riding down the road, and he saw this man and woman fighting, and they were really tussling. And so he pulls over on the side of the road, and he walks up to him. He's going to, you know, take up for the woman, but the closer he got, to realize the woman had the man in a headlock. And so the closer he got, the more he said, you know. So he went back to the car and he got in the car. And his father-in-law said, what were you going to do? He said, well, I was going to break them up. He says, oh, no, son. Don't ever get in between a man and his woman. Don't ever try to break up a fight between a man and a woman because they will turn on you. So sometimes we got to be careful what battles we fight. Don't be drawn into a battle that you don't need to fight, that you even shouldn't fight, because everybody's got to fight their own battles. And we got to help fight battles that we should help fight battles, but there are some battles we just need to stay out of. Amen? There are battles when you just stand still. The Red Sea, what did Moses say? Stand still. And see, it's a battle where there's not anything you can do about it. You've got the sea in front of you. You've got the chariots behind you. You've got the mountains on each side. You're trapped, and there's not anything you can do. You can't get out of it. You can't go through it. You can't go around it. There's nothing you can do but sometimes just stand still. That's one of the hardest things sometimes to get across to a person. Just stand still. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I'm glad sometimes he gives us the wisdom not to fight a battle, and he gives us the wisdom just stand still. There are battles won by obedience. Children of Israel, walk around these walls of Jericho. Obey me, and you'll have victory. Gideon, obey me, and you'll have victory. So, how many knows? Most battles are really won by obedience. Just keep obeying God, and the battles will fall. The enemy will fall as we obey him. There are battles you should fight. You should fight. David had to fight a battle. He had to face the Goliath that was coming against Israel. How many ever had a Goliath in your life? Well, let me tell you about Goliaths. They're not singular, they're plural. There's more than one. The Bible is full of giants in the Old Covenant, and we have giants in the earth today. They're just not flesh and blood. And then there are battles we create ourselves. I'm going to be real honest with you in a few weeks. Talk about some battles I created in my own life, and I had to defeat them. We have to defeat. Victory is not an option. It's a mandate from heaven to be victorious over every single battle that comes our way. We have the whatever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now listen, there are battles. They change over time. I'm not fighting in my 60s. Thank God I'm not. Fighting in my 60s, battles I fought in my 20s. I had some battles in my 20s and 30s. I'm not fighting now. And I'll tell you why I'm not fighting them now, because I was victorious over them then. If you're fighting the same battles today you fought 40 years ago, you didn't win that battle. You didn't win that. If you're fighting, and they have to, over the decade, I believe decade after decade after decade, battles change. They change. My life is totally different than it ever has been. 20 and 30 years ago, I didn't have 3 grandkids. I didn't have certain things. I didn't have this. I didn't have that. But I had a lot of other things. You know, 20, 30, 40 years ago, one of the biggest battles I fought as a pastor was jealousy. Jealousy, oh my goodness. I had to constantly trying to bring a young church together that was filled with a bunch of young people, and they were just jealous over one another. It was difficult, but we won that battle. I don't fight jealousy. I don't fight that battle. That battle I fought years and years and years ago. The Bible says flee youthful lust. We shouldn't be battling in our 60s and 70s things we was battling when we was 20. If you get victory, you won't fight that same battle. Won't fight it. Nothing you battle is just unique to you. Everybody fights the same battles. Everybody fights the same battle. Everybody has the same battles. They live in the same flesh and blood, same world, same battles. God, how you deal with your battles today determines how you deal with your battles in the future. Jesus was in all points tempted like we are, yet, what, without sin? Now listen to this one. Jesus was not just an example for us. He was an example of us. Let that sink in a moment. Not just an example for us, an example of us, of how we'll win the battle. Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, verse 17, he said these words, "But you will not even need to fight this battle. Take your positions, stand still, and watch the Lord's victory." You won't need to fight this battle, Jehoshaphat. You just need to stand still and watch the Lord's victory. Now I want to go back to chapter 20, verse 1, and I want you to listen carefully as this, because this is a story, this is a battle that we all face, but we can win. "After this, the armies of the Moabites, the Ammonites, and some of the Meunites declared war on Jehoshaphat. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, 'A vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. They are already at Hazan Tamar,'" that was another name for Engedi. "Jehoshaphat," now let me pause for a moment. This battle came out of nowhere. This battle was a total, complete surprise to Jehoshaphat. These people were people that when they came out of the wilderness, when they was coming into the promised land, God told them, don't fight those battles. Go around this army, go around these people. And now they come back, and now the people that Israel spared, the people that they did not attack and take over, are the people who's coming against them. It came out of nowhere. You ever had a battle just come out of nowhere? People that are divorced, a husband walks up to a wife and says to a wife, "I don't love you anymore. I want out." A wife goes to a husband, "I don't love you anymore. I want out." A child goes, it just comes out of nowhere. And Jehoshaphat was terrified by the news, but he took his terror to the right place. And he said, he begged the Lord for guidance. He begged the Lord. Why is it Why is it that we don't do that right out of the gate every time? Why do we start trying to figure out in our minds how I'm going to win this? What am I going to do? Why don't we go and beg guidance from the Lord? Acknowledge Him in all of our ways and what He will direct your path. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. Jehoshaphat stood. Let me tell you what, you're talking about a prayer. I've read this about 10 times this week, and every time I read it, I go, oh, if I could just pray like that every time I entered into a battle. If I could remember these words and pray this prayer. He stood before the community of Judah and Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard at the temple of the Lord, and he prayed, oh Lord, God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. Oh, our God, did you not drive out those who lived in this land when your people Israel arrived? And did you not give this land forever to the descendants of the friend Abraham? Your people settled here, built this temple in honor of your name. They said, whenever we are faced with a calamity such as war, a plague, or a famine, we come to stand in your presence before this temple and your throne, and your name is honored. We cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. And now see what these armies of Moab and Mount Seir are doing. You would not let our ancestors invade those nations when they came out of Egypt, and they went around them and did not destroy them. Now see how they reward us. Here's the battle. And God says to Jehoshaphat after this prayer, this battle's not yours, it's the Lord's. And this is how you're going to win this battle. You're going to win this battle by standing still and doing nothing, but you're going to win this battle by not giving up on your worship and your praise and your thanksgiving to the Lord. If you will go out against this enemy, and if you will go against them, not with a sword and not with a spear, but you will go out saying, the Lord is good, and His mercy endureth forever. The Lord is good, and His mercy endureth forever. The Lord is good, and His mercy endureth forever. And that's all they said over and over and over again. The Lord is good. They just put the singers out in front, and they begin to worship, and they begin to praise the Lord, magnify Him, because what the enemy wants to do in our life is distract us from who we really are and distract us from whom we should be giving praise and honor and glory to. And if he can distract us from that, then the battle is won on his behalf. Years ago, I think it was about 10 years ago, we sang a song called Crazy Praise. How many remembers Crazy Praise? It goes something like this. Crazy praise, praise it don't make no sense. Open up, crazy praise, praise it don't make no sense. And we had this young musicians coming up, and I think Shane was one of them, yep. And I think David was one of them. And they were back in the back getting ready for praise and worship, and they started saying this. I don't like that song. That song don't make no sense. If the song says it don't make no sense. But they started saying, I don't like that song. That crazy praise just don't make no sense. Well, Dusty and Kitty happened to be in that little meeting. And Dusty and Kitty had gone through the biggest battles of their life. And they lit into them. And they begin to say, you'll know crazy praise one day when you go through a battle that we went. When you really are in a battle and yet you don't stop praising him. That's what crazy praise is. You don't give up and you don't stop no matter what's going on and what you're going through. And then boys said, okay. We got you. And they came out and sang crazy praise like they ain't never sung it before. Made sense then. That kind of praise don't make sense. Doesn't make sense when you're going through the valley of the shadow of death and you're praising him. It doesn't make sense, does it? Doesn't make sense. It's not supposed to make sense. But you got to praise him through it. You got to worship through it. Dusty went through the biggest trial of her life. She came to me and she said, "Dad, I'm taking a couple of weeks off, maybe a month, maybe 2 months. I just can't get on the platform and sing." And she took about 2 weeks to process that, and she came back to me and she said, "If I can't praise him through this, I can't praise him in anything else. I'm going to praise him through the most difficult time of my life, because that's how sometimes you win the battle. You just don't stop praising him, worshiping him, ascribing to him who he is." Jesus comes to the river of Jordan. John baptizes Jesus. He comes up out of the water, and a dove comes down and lights upon him. And the Bible says he was filled with the Spirit of God without measure. And he heard a voice out of heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Wow. The God of the universe, the Father of all mankind, people around heard the voice, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Well, you would think then, I mean, I would think if I'm standing here and all the people around me, and we all hear this voice that says, "Viren, you are my beloved son, and I am well pleased." I would think after that, then we're going to have a big celebration and party. I would think, man, Monday morning, this is going to be the best week of my life. Wouldn't you think that? If you heard an audible voice that said, "Ron, you're my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." After he said that, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord drove him into the wilderness to be tempted and tested of the enemy. So the next time you hear God said, "I'm well pleased with you," get ready. He goes into this wilderness, but let me tell you where the wilderness was. It wasn't a literal place. It was a literal space. Because the battles that we battle are not out there. If the Bible says we don't battle against flesh and blood, then we don't battle against flesh and blood. Battle is right here. In between. Just look at this head a minute. Let me show you how this battle is. Just force yourself to do it. I know sometimes it's difficult. Just force your head to do it. This head here, between these ears, is my battlefield. And my ears, I got two of them. And they go inside that head. And so my battle is what I'm hearing and what I'm listening to. My mouth, my tongue, is what I speak. And the battle that's going on inside my head, inside me, is the words that I'm speaking. What I'm saying, this battle is going on up here. And it's the lust of the flesh. It's the pride of life. It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those three things have never changed. The enemy has never changed his tactics. He came to Jesus. You know, he said to Jesus, said Jesus was hungry, and he said, "Won't you turn these stones into bread?" And you hungry, you've been fasting 40 days and 40 nights. "Won't you turn these stones into bread?" And Jesus comes back. See, Jesus had already won the battle. He'd won the battle in the 40 days of preparation. How many know you got to be prepared for battles? Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." He knew, I'm not going to be distracted by anything else over here. I realize that man really doesn't live by these things. He lives by every word that proceeds from the Father. And then he takes him and he goes to the lust of the eyes and says, "See, all these kingdoms out here, I'll give you all these kingdoms if you'll bow down and you'll worship me." Jesus said, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and only him." And then he went to the pride of life and he said, "Won't you cast yourself down? You're really the Son of God." angels will take care of you. You won't dash your foot against a stone. He said, thou shalt not. He already won the flesh, the eyes, and the pride of life. The flesh wants you to have it your way. The world wants you to have it their way. And the pride of life wants it to be something spectacular in your life. And that, how many know that pride is one of the biggest enemies on the face of the earth? Pride. Pride that keeps you from saying I'm sorry. Pride that keeps you from humbling yourself. Pride that keeps you from going the second mile. Pride that keeps you from doing exactly what you know the Lord wants you to do. It's that big old enemy called pride. And Jesus went into the wilderness, let me tell you why, in his mind, to overcome these things, because the children of Israel, the first Israel, failed in the wilderness. They were 40 years in it. Jesus was 40 days. What took them 40 years to get out of, it took him 40 days to get out of, because he had won the battle. He was not going to be distracted from his mission on this planet and let what he knew was not the way to go. He was not going to allow the enemy to win. Period. Period. Eric, I want you to be coming. And the Psalms David wrote, Moses wrote some other singers wrote some. But if you'll read Psalms, if I ask you today, what's Psalms all about? What is that 150 chapters of hymns and songs, and what is it all about? All you have to do is just read a couple of them, and you read them all. They're all about exalting him. They're all about worshiping him. They're all about praising him. And Psalms 49 says, if you will sing praises, if you will praise him, then he will break the chains. He'll break the chains. If you'll worship him, he'll break the chains. And then he ends it in Psalms 50 and says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, because that's where the victory is. Paul and Silas in a jail, and at midnight, what did they begin to do? Praise the Lord. What opened up the cells? Praise. No keys opened it up. The shackles didn't fall off because somebody took a saw and saw. They fell off because they started worshiping him at midnight in a dungeon. After they'd been beaten, they began to get free. They asked Mandela, what's his name? Mandela, when he got out after all those years in prison, he said, how did you make it all those years in that prison? And he said these words, I never was in it. The moment they put me behind the bars, I went somewhere else. I went somewhere else, and I was never in the cell. That's what happened to Paul and Silas. They were in prison, but yet they weren't in prison. Physically, yes. Spiritually, no. Physically, behind the bars. Spiritually, they were free. They were free. Apostle Paul looked out of a prison cell and could see what was going to happen to him the next day. And they were going to take an axe, and they were going to lay him on a chop block, and they were going to take that axe and cut his head off. And he started, I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. I fought a good fight. Therefore is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which a righteous judge shall give, and not to me only. See, you can't lose. Apostle Paul had won that battle years before, and he said, Let me tell you something about me. If I had it my way, I would go on and be with the Lord right now. But for you, it's better that I stay here. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Paul had won that victory way before they got to it. He had already died. He said, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Man, all you got to do is take a step in another direction. Take a thought in another direction. Take that step. And although you may seemingly or in it, you're not. Because you are truly seated with him in heavenly places, Christ Jesus. And we're made more than conquerors through him that has loved us. Your greatest victory, let's stand together. Your greatest victory, your greatest victory, when it comes out of nowhere, worst battle you can fight when it comes out of nowhere. You think everything's fine, all is well. Could be a betrayal, could be a financial crisis, could be a phone call. When I called Barbara, well, she called me. I was out of town. She said, we got a stack of papers here. You're being sued by a big law firm in Florida. The lawsuit was for everything we own. Everything we own. I created that battle. You've heard me tell this, sir. I created that battle. Aren't you glad, though, you can create one and him still get you out of it? I created the battle. It was my fault. Barbara said, don't do it. And I said, oh, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. I didn't know what I was doing. Lost our whole life savings on one investment. Now I'm being sued because the whole thing's gone under. I'm being sued for more than we had. I took it to my lawyer in Griffin, and I took it to him and let him see it. And I said, what do you think? He said, they're going to get everything you got, dear. Everything you got. Nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do. You sign the dotted line, and there's not anything you can do. But there was. There was something I could do. I was terrified, but I did what Jehoshaphat did. I turned to the Lord, and I cried out and said, I created this. I did this. I need you. My family doesn't need to suffer because of my ignorance. Help me get out of this. About 2 weeks later, I get a phone call. My friend Ron Gray said to me, it's over. I said, what? The lawsuit's over. Everything's taken care of. They've worked things out. All is well, and you don't have to worry. You'll be getting some other papers in the mail, and when you get those papers, sign it, and the lawsuit's over with. Whew. Terrified like Jehoshaphat was, absolutely. It's okay to be. You can't tell me that David walked out there, 15-year-old boy, looked at this 9-foot giant. We read it that way. How do you know he's not shaking in his sandals? Moses standing at the Red Sea was scared. He was terrified. What am I going to do? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The battle's not yours. It's the Lord's. Just don't ever, ever give up. And don't ever stop praising Him. Never stop praising Him. Never stop. Don't get distracted. Don't let the trial, the tribulation, the battle distract you from what you're here for. And who you're here for more than what you're here for is who you're here for. I want you to bow your head for a moment. If you're here and you're in a battle right now, and the battle's bigger than you, it's a vast army Jehoshaphat heard was coming. If you're here and you're in a battle right now, would you just lift up your hand and say, I'm in a big battle. God bless you. See those hands. Anybody else? See those hands. God bless you. Don't you look at me, and then I'm going to pray. I believe that what I've seen and what we're going to see in the future is most of the battles we don't need to fight. Most of them we don't need to fight. There are some. David had to fight Goliath. He had to. There are fights, battles, spiritual warfare you need to fight. But I want to tell you, most of them you don't need to fight. Most of them there's not anything you can do anything about. You can't stop a husband from walking out the door and leave. You can't stop that. You can't stop a wife from walking out. You can't stop that. You can't stop certain things. You may think you can, but you cannot change another person. The only person you have any control over whatsoever is this person, you. You're the only one. And you can't do, and there are things that's just outside your control, and when they're outside your control, there's not anything you can do about it. Stand still. Don't fight that battle. Don't fight something. Don't be dragged into battles you don't need to be dragged into. Most battles simply need to be given over to the Lord, casting all our cares upon Him, for He cares for us. Amen. Aren't you glad? Maybe you've done what I did years ago. Maybe you created a battle in your own life. He still loves you. He still loves you. It's okay. He's not going to turn against you. Well, I made this up all by myself. It's okay. Learn from it and go on. Let's learn from it and go on. But He's not going to forsake you. Not the God that we serve. And I guarantee you, there's a lot of people wish today, I just wish I hadn't fought that battle. Just wish I hadn't fought that battle. In this study, I made a spiritual decision. Me and God had a little talk. You ever have a little talk with Jesus? Remember that song? Have a little talk with Jesus. Tell Him all your troubles. He'll hear you by and by. And I just heard in my spirit, Buren, you don't have to fight certain battles. Choose your battles wisely. And I've kind of chosen not to fight some battles. Chosen. I'm not going to go this way right now. I'm not going to fight that battle. I don't need to fight that battle. Maybe I'll need to fight it 10 years from now, but right now, you don't need to fight this battle. Don't need to fight it. Boy, what a release. what a burden can be lifted when you hear the Spirit of the Lord say, you don't have to fight this battle. You don't need to fight this battle. You don't need to. Amen. I'm going to ask some kids to be coming down that's moving up from the sixth grade. Huh? To the sixth grade. Huh? We got a stack. All right. Well, there is a bunch of people you haven't seen. And I know they're all watching on Facebook, though. Aisha Bradford.
We have Miss Braylee Grubbs.
Braylee Grubbs.
We have Mr. Boone Kramer. And Mr. Zeke Adams.
Zeke Adams.
Mr. Grady Bethune.
Grady Bethune.
And last but not least, Miss Ella Torres. They are soaking up the last bit of summer, so they're...
All of you mama and daddies of these precious people, shame, shame, shame on you.
We love them and we hate to see them go, but they are off to awesome hands with Mr. Joey and you, and I think they're all very excited about it.
So. To all of you people watching by Facebook, and all of you ending this summer, please come back. Amen. All right, eldership be coming down. We're going to serve communion, and this is how we do it. Once they get stationed, and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is open communion for everybody. All you do is move to your left and come around and get your elements and go back to your seat, and we'll receive it together. In the Garden of Gethsemane, they come to get him, and Peter pulls out a sword, tried to cut off a man's head, missed his head, got his ear. Jesus reached down, picked the ear up, placed it on the man, and he was healed. He said, man that lives by the sword will die by the sword. Jesus goes on and says, I'm paraphrasing, as you know. I'm not going to fight this battle. I'm not going to fight this battle. I could call 12 legion of angels down from heaven. They're already swords drawn. All I got to do is say, I'm not paying this price. I'm not going to do this. And 12 legion of angels are going to come down, wipe everything out, start all over again. But because he didn't fight a battle, he won a war. Because he didn't fight a battle, he won the war over sickness, over sin, over death, over hell. He won the war for everybody. Aren't you glad of that? He won the war. This is my body, which is broken for you. Take it, members of me. This is the cup of the new covenant. My blood shed for remission of your sins.
Don't forget, this Wednesday night, we are starting our groups up. Want you to be here. Want you to be a part. It will be every Wednesday for the next 8 weeks. So August and September, 6:30. Want you here. There's child care. Youth will still be meeting. So make sure that you are planning on that. For ushers, go ahead and be coming and receiving our morning's tithes and offerings. And we want you to, this first Wednesday, everybody will come in here. And then we will break up to the groups after we've come in here first. So, and then thereafter, you'll know where to go. But it depends on how you have signed up. So if you got your connection cards, make sure you have dropped those in the bucket, or you can drop it in the box on your way out so that we have your sign-ups for that. And all is well. We are also starting next week. We will have sign-ups for helping at the Doc Holliday Festival, which will be September 7th. Things that we have moved the festival to the city park, and it's going to be quite the display. This year we have the nation's longest portable zip line coming out. So anybody wants to get on a 400-foot zip line, that would be down through the trees in city park. It's going to be pretty awesome, and so lots of good things that are taking place. So tomorrow is the first day of school for Spalding County. Some of our students have already started school this past week, and some are starting at the end of this week. So say a special prayer for those and the parents as they get on their schedule and their routine of going back to school. So let's pray, and we'll be dismissed. Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you, Father, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for what you've poured into us today. Allow us, Father, Lord, to continue to take that and pour it out to those we come in touch with. Lord, touch families, parents, children that are getting ready to get in new routines for school. Give them a great week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.